We're going to head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, check with our man, the guy who has earned the nickname Crankenstein, Jake Ballard. He just hits the ball so damn far that wind plays no part in his game. Jake, what's happening, buddy? What's going on?
It's my favorite Columbus radio personalities from 6 to 9 a.m.
That's a quite the small bunch that we have here, Jake. I mean, thank you so much for the kind comment.
You know, it's a tight race between you guys and James and Bo, but I listen all the less.
You know what? That is pretty amazing. I just got to ask you first before we get going here, bud, and I really, maybe this will just take up most of the entire show. I mean, how did the nickname Crankenstein really come about? Can you really just expand on this? Where did it come from? Who did it come from? And then, you know, maybe walk us through your bag, Jake. I mean, do we have a stiff shaft in your bag? Extra stiff? Like, what are we working here? How did the nickname come about?
Well, let's keep this family-friendly beam. It's an extra stiff shaft with an 8.5-degree face on my Titleist T2 driver I got last year. But, hitting it pretty well. So our good friend Tim May likes to be really creative and try and have all these fancy names for everyone. So he knew I was okay, golf can hit it far from our days on the tailgate show at Little Turtle and the golf simulator. So he asked me to play in an outing. So we got a practice round in over at Clover Field, and first hole is about a 365-yard par 4, and I showed up and drove the green. First hole I played with Tim May, about a 10-foot putt. So that's how the Crankenstein was born, and then I think the next hole I ripped it far left. So, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, so that's the question there. I mean, first of all, did you make that putt for Eagle?
I missed the putt for Eagle, but I did get it for birdie, so I didn't three putt, but I missed the putt for Eagle.
All right, and so like the Crankenstein nickname, I had heard that that was off of an iteration of Yankenstein. Mm. I don't know if that was in reference to your golf game or maybe outside of the world of golf. Can you clarify that?
I think they're having me confused with our good friend Anthony Rocksman. That sounds like his private life, maybe his old AOL AIM screen name back in the day, AR Yankenstein.
That's amazing.
I mean, that is pretty damn good, Jake. So obviously you're having a lot of fun here. You're doing the tailgate show again with AR and Timmy May coming up this Saturday for us, 10 a.m. to 11:45. That'll be great. What are you looking forward to, bud? I mean, there's a lot of stuff with the tight end position this year. You obviously have Ruckert coming back. That's a big storyline. G. Scott Jr. making the transition over from wide receiver. Is this the year, Jake, that the tight ends go wild? New quarterback. I mean, guys might be getting rushed. I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall. We do this every year. Is this finally the breakout year? What are you expecting from these guys on Saturday?
I mean, it's definitely an interesting dynamic. I mean, I think Jerry Rucker is going to be one of the top tight ends taken next year as long as we use him. He kind of reminds me of a little bit like Gronk, not quite the blocker Gronk was, and I think Jeremy actually runs better than Gronk. So I think a better comparison is maybe Travis Kelce. But we'll see if he can get to the ball. I mean, he definitely should, but we're just so swamped with talent everywhere. It'll also be interesting to see who kind of fills that role in the number two, because we like to play two tight ends a lot. You know, Mitch Rossi will be playing a lot of the fullback, AKH, whatever tight end you want to call it. I think the most interesting piece is the G. Scott move. I mean, hopefully we get him the field. We'll see how he looks running around at tight end in the spring game, if that's something that may stick or not. But as you guys know, you know, a 6'2", 220-pound tight end is pretty normal in the NFL, and he might be able to go further that position than receiver, and I'm not doubting his receiver skills, but it's a mismatch problem all day long in the slot and a tight end for that.
No, it absolutely is. When you talk about that, and I always ask big receivers, because no one wants to come down and, you know, quote, play tight end. I think, you know, Kyle Pitts has probably changed that a little bit, and we'll get into that here in a second, but you know, I'm like, would you rather be guarded by the best cover guy on the team and a cornerback, or maybe a safety or a linebacker? Like, that seems like a much better matchup. And so, you know, maybe that's part of the selling point for G. Scott down there. But, you know, what impact do you think Kyle Pitts, you know, the tight end out of Florida, who is probably going to go in the top 10, had in potentially making some of these moves? And do you think this will kind of transform the tight end position, Jake?
I mean, he's obviously studied. Kind of reminds me of a bigger Vernon Davis, right? The way he runs. I mean, Vernon's a little more compact, 6'3", 255 back in the day. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does and where he goes. Hopefully he goes to a team that actually has a quarterback and get him the Brock. But we'll see if he becomes a transitional or transformational player in the NFL.
We got our man Jake Ballard with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So, Jake, just talk a little bit about the transition, you know, from wide receiver to tight end. What's that going to be like? I mean, what are some of the growing pains going to be for G. Scott Jr. as you're looking for him? Obviously, Kyle Pitts, the hot name right now in the NFL draft. But to make that position, I mean, we know he's a big-bodied kid. He's obviously got great hands, but he's going to be a receiving tight end. Wouldn't imagine him, you know, blocking very much. But still, you know, if you're called upon to do that, you got to do it sometimes. But what are some of the biggest growing pains you think he's going to go through?
Well, some of the mismatch problems are when you have the two tight ends in the game, but you can also, you know, you can put them on the line and also spread them out. You know, as long as the coaches don't ask him to do what he's not good at yet, mm-hmm. you know, they shouldn't be putting him at the point of the attack to be able to block and hold the line versus big D ends. But he needs to be able to learn how to do that on the backside so opposing defenses and coaches don't know what formations we're going to go in. We could spread them out, bring them in tight, also play action on the line of scrimmage. Can open up a lot of things for him downfield because, like Bobby said, would you rather go against one of their best cover guys out of the corner or, a.k.a., watch the Alabama game and play slot and have one of our linebackers try and cover you? I mean, that's all it really comes down to.
Is there any other position groups, Jake, in about the last minute here that you're going to be locked in on for the spring game that you think you could actually tell how potentially this thing's going to go based upon, you know, a spring game performance? Because some of those positions, it's difficult to kind of evaluate.
I mean, there's a ton of fights all over the field for playing time, but I'll be interested to see what happens with the linebackers and Bobby's old position because there's just so many new faces that have just been buying time year after year to get on the field. So we'll see what happens.
Seems to be the constant theme around everybody, always looking towards the linebackers this season, a lot of people to replace. Jake, always appreciate the time, bud. Hit him straight today, or at least attempt to, but hit him far, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
All right, sounds good, guys.